This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, TV critic for the New York Daily News, sitting in for Terry Gross. In a moment, we're going to hear an interview Terry recorded earlier this year with two great actors who are also married, Felicity Huffman and William H. Macy. Huffman has become a household name and an Emmy winner as a result of her role on Desperate Housewives as Lynette. She also starred in the critically acclaimed but short-lived series Sports Night. William H. Macy received an Oscar nomination for his role in Fargo and won writing and acting Emmys for his telemovie Door to Door. His other movies include Seabiscuit and Boogie Nights. Now Macy is the executive producer of a new movie called Transamerica. It stars Felicity Huffman, who won the Best Actress Award when the film played earlier this year at the Tribeca Film Festival. Huffman plays a transsexual man preparing to have final gender reassignment surgery and already passing as a genetic female. In this scene, she's being evaluated for the surgery by a psychiatrist. A heads up to parents, the scene has a passing reference which may not be appropriate for young children.
Do you consider yourself a happy person?
Yes. No. I will be.
Miss Osborne, there's no such thing as a right answer in this office.
Yes, I'm a very happy person.
How can I help you if you won't be honest with me?
You can sign that consent form, please.
The American Psychiatric Association categorizes gender dysphoria as a very serious mental disorder.
After my operation, not even a gynecologist will be able to detect anything out of the ordinary about my body. I will be a woman. Don't you find it odd that plastic surgery can cure a mental disorder?
How do you feel about your penis?
It disgusts me. I don't even like looking at it.
What about friends?
They don't like it either.
No. I mean, do you have the support of friends?
I'm very close to my therapist.
What about your family?
My family is dead.
Felicity Huffman, William H. Macy, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Felicity, the kind of woman that you're playing as a man who's becoming a woman is a different kind of woman than I suspect you are. In other words...
What are you saying?
Here's exactly what I'm saying, that he's kind of inhabiting a kind of woman who is probably female in a way that's slightly different than you are, with an almost studied wiggle in the walk. Mm-hmm. And, we'll talk about learning the voice in a second, but he's learned how to be a woman, and you just are a woman. And there's a certain mm-hmm. type of female manner that I think people who are transsexuals adopt that's a little different than than a lot of women who are just women, who are in some ways less feminine.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a journey, because most transgendered people who are transgendered do it later in life when they actually have the finances to do it, because it's very expensive. And also, you know, after quite a few years, 30 or 40, of struggling with this decision, because, you know, they're caught between a rock and a hard place. Either they can be alienated from themselves, you know, not presenting who they really are, or they can have the sexual reassignment surgery, and then they're going to be alienated from society. So it takes a long time before you're willing to sacrifice society for yourself, if that's clear. And the reason I preface that is because you take a 40-year-old guy and you say, all right, starting tomorrow, I want you to wear a dress and earrings and makeup and present to the world as a woman, because you have to dress as a woman for a year before you are okayed for the sexual reassignment surgery. And, you know, they don't know how to do that.
A lot of women don't know how to do that.
Yeah, myself included. So, yeah, I think what I chose for Sabrina Claire Osborne, which is what my name was in the movie, Bree, it was a very studied, learned, almost beauty pageant kind of femininity, because she had to go to that extreme to learn it before she could find it in herself. I think in the last scene of the movie, you can see her being a little more settled in her own femininity. I also happen to know a lot of transgendered women who you know, are completely comfortable being a woman and aren't that sort of mannerisms, don't have those kind of mannerisms that I adopted in the movie.
Felicity, the movie starts with you're a character watching a videotape of a woman demonstrating for pre-op transsexuals how to place their voice so that they sound more like a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of thing you try to, your character tries to achieve through the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something that's so convincing about what you've done with your voice for the film. Could you talk a little bit about placing it for the movie?
Sure. Let me give you some background, though. sexual reassignment surgery and hormone therapy does not alter the vocal cords. So you can have someone that looks like Kate Moss sound like James Earl Jones. And it's one of the most difficult challenges they have because it's hard to find your female voice. And the woman at the beginning of the movie who you see in the videotape is Andrea James. And that's one of the things she does is she coaches, as you said, she coaches men how to sound like women. And, you know, you want to sound authentic. You don't want to sound like a guy, but you also don't want to sound like Tony Curtis in Some Like It Hot. Women don't even have the chest cavity or the head cavity that men have to drop it down. I mean, you saw Andrea on that film go, oh, you know, finish up for me, Bill. She went, she went down like that. So I couldn't find a way to do it. And I knew it was key. And I finally went to, we were rehearsing in New York, and I went to a wonderful voice coach named Katie Bull. And through a bunch of work, we figured out how to find a voice that sounded like it was in transition, which is as close as I could get.
The thing that Felicity did that's so great in this film is that we now all know her very well because of Desperate Housewives, and you look at this character and you know it's Felicity in there somewhere, but it's just all a little wrong. It was perfect. She really has done a number. She erased her face somehow. I don't know how she did it. And then painted it back on. So it's her face, but it's just not right somehow.
I noticed that actually just watching it. And what I was thinking about that was that, Felicity, tell me if you think this is right, that you didn't want to... Your face is almost like a mask in the movie, as if you're trying to not betray too much of what you're feeling, because what you're feeling at this point is such kind of confusion. And so...
No, she's not feeling confusion. What she's feeling is intense, and I can't think of the right word, it's like intense Mach 4 of self-consciousness, because she doesn't represent to the world the way she feels inside. So all she can hope is she comes in under the radar, you know, just don't look at me. I'm not tall. I'm not big. You know, she doesn't know how to do her makeup. You know, her hair's a little funky from the hormones, which happens. And so it's not that she's lost. It's that...
What's the phrase they use when they're made? When they're
clocked.
Clocked. When someone realizes that it's a transgendered person, they're clocked, and that's the biggest fear.
Yeah, they just, yeah, they live in, yeah, it's horrible because you're pointed out as, ooh, a freak.
Now, Bill Macy, the last time you were on Fresh Air, this was like 1993, we talked a lot about your approach to acting and what you'd learned from working with David Mamet in theater and in movies. And I remember you talking about how you're not into the method, and you're into always asking, like, what's your motive? Like, why? What do you want the other person to do? What are you trying? What action are you trying to get them to do with what you're saying? And it's kind of different from, like, the method approach of, like, drawing on your deepest emotional memories that might approximate what the character's going through. Do you both have the same approach to acting? Do you?
I think we do. And I think Transamerica is a... excellent example of that. Felicity has a serious characterization to do. Her voice is different, her walk is different, her look is different. Every physical thing about her is different. But why the film works so well is that she didn't forget to act. And that happens so often for an actor. When it's a high-wire act with this characterization, you forget to act. You forget to look at the other person. And the reason the film works so well is that it's just her, ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we approach work the same way. I mean, I was constantly, because Bill was home a lot with the girls. I would say several times a day I was calling Bill for coaching on a scene, and we work that way a lot. I call him from Desperate Housewives.
What kind of advice do you ask?
Oh, I read the scene over there. I fax him the scene or the rewrites, and we read it together, and I sort of say, what do you think it means? What do you think she wants? How should I approach it?
We do it with each other. Sometimes you can miss the forest for the trees when it's a scene.
Yeah, I can, yeah.
When it's a scene, you have to act in moments, really. An outsider can look at it with a little bit fresher eye, really.
How did you both meet, Bill?
The Atlantic Theater Company.
Through the Atlantic Theater Company in New York City.
You were both acting in it.
I was teaching, and Felicity was a student, but I didn't touch her, Terry. I didn't touch her until long after she had graduated, hours after she had graduated.
Oh, so...
can't believe you said that. I was so willing to, like, whoosh, go
Let
right
it go.
Around it.
It's, the word's out. There's no hiding anymore.
All right.
Was that awkward while you were her teacher?
We didn't get together until after I was graduated.
The company had been formed.
It was the theater company. Yeah.
Our relationship was really more of company members.
Yeah.
And
except that all the girls had crushes on Bill, I have to tell you.
Now she tells me.
let me play a scene of you together, and this is from the series Sports Night, in which Felicity Huffman, you played a producer of an ESPN-type sports show. And Bill Macy, for a few episodes, you played a consultant who's brought in to boost the ratings, and you have very strong opinions of how to do that, and you're trying to tell the producers what they should be doing to improve the show. So here's a scene where you've come into the control room and you're telling the producer, Felicity Huffman, what she should do.
Hey.
Good evening.
Show seems a little stiff tonight, don't you think?
Yes, I do.
Maybe even stiffer than last night.
I believe it is.
You know why?
Because you're freaking everyone out?
Could be.
Stand by 57 and 58.
You know what I'd do if I were you?
Kill myself?
No, I'd whisper in their ear.
I beg your pardon?
The two of you, whisper something in their ear.
What are you talking about?
Men like the sound of a woman whispering in their ear. They get playful.
Why don't we just get them a lap dance?
No, we don't have that kind of time, but I like your thinking.
Listen.
Whisper in their ear.
I'm not whispering in their ear. Natalie's not whispering in their ear.
If you want, I...
Kim's not whispering in their ear. You've gotten everything you wanted. We've been totally cooperative. But I'm afraid from 11 to 12, this is my show. And I'll deal with things the way I deal with things.
Okay.
That's William H. Macy and Felicity Huffman in a scene from the former ABC series Sports Night, which is out on DVD. So when you worked on that together, did you talk... Again, you know, like your approach to acting has to do with... What are you getting the other person to do by saying what you say? Did you talk about that kind of thing with each other, or should you not show your cards to each other when you're going to be in a scene together?
No, we totally show our cards to each other. Yeah.
It doesn't, like, diminish the power or anything because the other character knows how you're trying to manipulate them?
No, because it lives in the moment. It doesn't live in what you practiced in the dressing room or at rehearsal in the afternoon. It lives in the moment. And if Bill does something different, I'll react differently. And if I do something different, he reacts differently. So you don't bring in something you rehearsed earlier. You live in the moment, and that's constantly changing.
And it's not as if it's a secret. I mean, if a scene is well written, it's pretty clear what's going on. The playwright is not out to trick us. He's out to make it as clear as possible.
Yeah. And Aaron Sorkin, wasn't it fun to hear that?
Oh, That guy can write.
That guy can write.
He could do it professionally.
Yeah, he could.
So this scene sounds like it was a lot of fun to do.
That whole series was fun to do.
It was fantastic. It was so great to have Bill come on. And we got to make out and get paid for it.
I always think that when you start out doing David Mamet plays, as you both did, that in some ways it's got to be all downhill from there. I mean, how many people write dialogue on that level? Have you ever felt, either of you, in roles where, like it was, you know, it was a good part, you should be doing it, but it just wasn't kind of reaching that level that you wanted?
I think when you're, various scripts bring various things to the table. David can certainly write dialogue as well or better than anybody else, but sometimes there's a great story to be told, or sometimes it's a great character to play, or sometimes the dynamic with all the characters. There's different elements to the party each time. It doesn't have to be mammoth dialogue each time.
Mm-hmm.
Also, mammoth dialogue is a double-edged sword. On one hand, it's fun to speak, but it's impossible to learn and very complicated.
Why? And difficult to do well.
Why is it complicated and difficult?
He writes in iambic pentameter most of the time, and it's a very, the wording is very specific, and it's not casual.
It's not casual at all. Sometimes when you read a mammoth script, it takes you three or four readings just to understand exactly what the characters say. And interestingly, when you read it, you'll read a sentence on the page, and you're not sure what it means, but the second you say it out loud, it's clear.
Yeah.
He has a tendency to cut some of the words out of a speech, as we do in natural speech.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Macy, in one of your recent movies, The Cooler, you had a sex scene with Maria Bello.
A sex scene?
Right, okay, several. And and we also got to see you naked from behind. And I guess I'm wondering if, you know, I think that was like the first time on screen that you were naked from behind. Was that like an issue for you? And I ask you this in part because it got so much attention. Like people were saying, oh, Macy's doing a sex scene. But I guess I'm wondering whether that was something that made you uncomfortable, how you reacted to the reaction to it.
I was nervous about it. I'm north of 50 years old, so the idea of taking off my clothes in front of all the world was daunting. But Maria Bello is very, very cool about it, and she said it was no big deal. Felicity was supportive about it. She said, you've got a nice rear end. And ultimately, just like anything, if it advances the plot, if it's good storytelling, I'm willing to do it. And the only thing that I wish is that I'd started working out a little bit earlier before I had to do that. But yeah, it made me nervous. I had my acting teacher was on set with me. His name's Jim Beam. That helped a lot.
Oh, I get it. I was going to say, what a coincidence. Well, but that could really dull your senses, that Jim Beam.
That's what I needed, dulled senses. It looks like it would be. I just had to watch Felicity making out for an hour on ABC the other night.
I kissed Doug Savant. That's all I did. Bill is naked with Maria Bello, who's, what, 10 years younger than
me,
and
kiss
stunning.
Doug Savant.
And shut up.
Did
shut up.
Surgery
and like
on his
10
mouth.
Pounds lighter than me. Bill's running around naked. She's like got her hands on young Will and the twins. I mean, it's unbelievable. But suddenly he can't look at me because I'm going to be kissing Doug Savant.
No, I know you're kidding each other now, but is it? Does it really make you uncomfortable when you see that?
I hate it.
You're so sweet.
I hate it. I just don't watch. I sort of look away and hum so I can't even hear the dialogue. I don't need to see that. What am I going to say to her? Hey, good job, honey. Boy, that guy's going to stay kissed for a while.
Well, I think you're both great, and I really appreciate your talking with us today. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
thank you. I love your program.
We think you're great, too.
Yeah. Oh, gee, thanks.
William Macy and Felicity Huffman speaking with Terry Gross. Huffman co-stars in the TV show Desperate Housewives and has the starring role in the new film Transamerica, which Macy produced. Here's a song from the Desperate Housewives companion CD. It starts with a clip of Felicity Huffman as Lynette. I'm David Bianculli, and this is Fresh Air.